The persistent rainfall during homegoing services for Anamita brought more despair to gray days and the darker nights of those now left behind grieving their loss of a beloved matriarch. Her 76 years seemed an ordinary life, but was lived with resolve to transcend any perceived obstacles, but soon it would be discovered her existence was filled with wonderment. Her final wake was now taking place on Easter Jubilee weekend, which was a last Friday in March. Also, it was a reunion of sorts for those coming not only to mourn, but celebrate a renewal of life. Just outside the city of Albany in southwest Georgia, folks came to Anamita's home with fresh collard greens along with homemade sweet potato pies, served with mounds of grilled pork and plenty of chicken. Then a rich man's boil began brewing as evening skies began clearing, stocked with jumbo shrimp and blue devil crabs rushed in from southeastern Georgia coast as gesture of some ties to the Gullah Low Country. Anamita's home was bursting with Easter azaleas along with potted peace lilies and the final bloom of weeping petunias. There were proclamations also, several cards of condolence, that were sent from all over, with even the local mayor calling on the family offering encouragement while she examined certain tributary documentation. Respecting a spirit of tradition was important to Anamita, as she hoped that all her hereditary, also acknowledged children would feel compelled to according to abiding example. Her immediate survivors included her devoted husband of more than 50 years, but it was her youngest son, Patrick, who had been entrusted with the last testament, so he now faced conflict over what first appeared was a small matter of benefaction. Many of Anamita's younger female relatives had long admired her modest jewelry collection, laying claim to some necklace or certain set of earrings, insisting, "Auntie wanted me to have this to remember her by after she was gone." There were instructions left for which surviving relatives should be inheriting jewelry, but after specified claims were settled, Patrick was confronted by some who felt entitled to something else, insisting they needed a round table sit-down at the end of evening. Some known as Anamita's daughters, nieces, also her great-nieces, sat rummaging through stacks of obituaries and other artifacts, while a few youngsters went about snapping pictures of floral arrangements with phones and posting videos while commenting about Anamita's porcelain swan and her tea rose collection. Upon thanking the departing guest for their graciousness displayed throughout the evening, Patrick was seated with what now seemed to be this covenant of cousins when one senior lady put a photo on the table asking, "Patrick, sorry as we do realize you're grieving and all, but where are Big Auntie's pearls?" He inspected the photo of a young Anamita wearing a uniquely yoked pearl necklace in sweetheart attire, but he did not recognize the young man in that picture, who was not his father, but perhaps her escort to some formal event, when Patrick replied, "I don't remember ever seeing this necklace, assuming that's what y'all talking about, though gonna look for it whenever having a chance, and then maybe I can get back with y'all later." Most of the ladies at the table expressed an interest, but none gave any account about monetary value or told a compelling story of their significance nor their origins. But they all did seem to agree that those pearls once belonged to Big Auntie. One such youngster that was presented as Big Auntie's third great niece added to her plea by declaring, "Patrick, my grandma used to do your mama's hair when they were girls, but she couldn't make it here. But she sent y'all up a crate of grapefruit." The women around the table all gave account of their mother's or grandmother's relationship with Big Auntie, then maybe an obligatory nod to Anamita, when after all of the late evening testimonies were done, Patrick stood on the front porch bidding those late-leaving ladies goodnight. His elder cousin lingered then as she finally left the porch. She declared, "Patrick, since you ain't never been known to hold on to a honeypot, I'll be here in early morning to take my place beside you in that lead imperial limousine, and I do trust you gon' do right when you find my Big Auntie's pearls."